Hey everyone, and welcome back to Pixel Mix, the Pick and Mix Gaming Podcast. As always, I'm your host Andy Wood, and I'm joined by my co-host Josh.
Oh, it's Josh time, baby!
It is always Josh time at Pixel Mix. So, this week in Mini Console Madness, we're going back to the birth of the kart racer with Super Mario Kart.
Ooh, we love some kart races on Pixel Mix. That's one of our secret pleasure spots.
Nice, lovely wording. The spot caught me off guard, but yeah, there you go. Right in the kart racing pleasure spot. But
I'm sorry about that.
When it's Josh time, anything can happen. You know, it's how it works. But how has Josh week been?
Oh, Josh week has been okay. You know, it's been a fairly busy old time. Still covering showbiz, which means I've got a very arbitrary "I need to leave in an hour to watch I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here" deadline. That's a nice show. This is almost like a bus stuck a trial. I've got to like try and get it done, get out, get the stars quickly. You know, there's lobbing cockroaches at me. It's all going on, so got to head off to do that. But you know, other than that, it's pretty chill. Not much going on. You know, how about yourself?
Yeah, no, I'm doing okay. Obviously, it's been a couple of weeks really since we recorded. We had to get one kind of in the queue last time out. So it's been a couple of weeks, and yeah, you know, I've just been trying to hit some of those Game of the Year potential games. Not doing a good job of it, mind. I find that I just get distracted by the stupidest things whenever I need to play like potentially really good Game of the Year games. So like, I spent a few days playing just a completely mediocre card-based game on Game Pass called Signs of the Sojourner. That was like a 5 out of 10 video game that I spent about 6 hours in for no reason. I also started up a game of Football Manager on my PC, which there's no world in which I have the time for that. So, you know, that was a mistake as well. Although I did have quite a fun story with that one, because I usually play Football Manager from like the bottom league. I just feel like that's the real way to play the game. You don't just start Football Manager and play as like fucking Man City and win. That's useless. But this time I took the next level up, and not only did I play as a bottom tier team, I played as a bottom tier team in the Northern Irish football pyramid. So I'm playing as a team called Lima Vidi United. Do correct me if anyone listens from that town and I've said it wrong. And they're in like the third tier of Northern Irish football. And the thing I love about it is like the game has obviously all this, like, you know, you do everything in Football Manager. So you're negotiating contracts, you're working on deals with your players and all this sort of stuff. And it's so in depth on the PC version, but the like logic clearly doesn't scale down to like football of that level. So like, I'm doing negotiations with these like these random third tier Northern Irish players, and like they're literally like they're willing to walk out of the room and not sign a new contract if I remove their they want some money if they're going to be like on the bench but not brought on, like an unused substitute bonus. But they want £1, Josh. and if I take the £1 off, they walk out the room. Like at one point I thought, you know what, like I'm not like that's just an annoying, but I'm taking that money off. And then they just left. They're like, no, you know what, I'll find another club. I'll find another club who'll give me a quid for sitting on the bench then. Like, honestly, everyone at that level, they want about £7 to play and about £1 if they sit on the bench. And it's just wonderful. It's the pinnacle of Football Manager. I recommend everyone try some Northern Irish football and that. It's magical.
I love that you'd be bent over a barrel for £1. That's deeply satisfying, Football Manager. I didn't know that was a possibility. Yeah. I didn't know you could offer wages that much.
It's wonderful. So, I
kind of invested.
I also forgot another great thing, which is that when we win a match, I get a notification saying that for winning a match, we got £35. And I'm like, yes, that'll pay for those unused substitutes. It's great.
He's going off to the store buying a copy of Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like, there we go, £35, boys. We're playing games tonight.
I'm glad we won on Black Friday week, guys. Get that game.
Get that stuff in.
But yes.
Yeah, speaking of weird gaming news this week, I don't know if you've noticed the PS Plus lineup has been announced, as it usually is at this time of the month. Yeah. It's a fairly innocuous bunch of games. Mortal Shell is on there. I think that came to Game Pass fairly recently. There's Batman game from about a decade ago as well, which who could really care? But the interesting announcement was that Godfall was going to be a part of it. Now, Godfall, for anybody who did not know, was one of the PS5's launch games. It was, you know, if you're going to bring out a ban average game which nobody's going to enjoy, bring it out at launch. That's when you do it, because people will buy it. And even with that proviso, nobody bought Godfall. That was the joy of the game. Even when there's nothing else to play, nobody wanted to play this hack and slash looting game, which they'd invented. So, of course, they had to invent a PS4 version in the hopes that somebody would buy it there.
Yeah, and now, which is already great.
It's already great. And obviously, nobody has bought it since because now it's in PS Plus just 1 year after its life. I thought, well, you know what? I might give Godfall a go. I mean, I'm always intrigued. I had like a morbid curiosity about what it would be like. Little did I know that they've actually created a third version of Godfall.
Right.
And this version doesn't have any of the campaign. What it does is it strips you all of the actual core gameplay. It takes all of that away and just puts you in the end game. Because even Godfall's developers realize that playing Godfall is boring and they don't want people to do it. But this comes with a slightly trickier juxtaposition of the fact that the end game of Godfall is obviously where you've mastered Godfall and you're going to do all the tough stuff. So you're going to get a bunch of people downloading this game, getting their absolute asses handed to them immediately uninstalling it. So once nobody is going to play Godfall.
I mean, that's absolutely amazing. That's great. I'd already seen like the jokes when everyone thought this was the full version, where they'd be like, you know, people would be tweeting out stuff saying like, oh, it's great that Godfall's coming to PS Plus so that millions more people can avoid playing it and stuff like, which is, you know, because it's what will happen. But for them to go to the effort of making a stingy minimalist version, like, your game sold like zero units, surely you want to try and just get some players in there at this point, just try and salvage it, you know, make something out of it. That's absolutely ridiculous, because I was the same as you. I was thinking, yeah, you know, I can give Godfall a go on PS Plus, you know, it's a PS5 game. There's just, God knows, there's not actually been that many of those over the last calendar year, really. You know, there's been some heavy hitters, but it's been fairly dry. So I was up for it, but yeah, I will not be playing weird endgame only Godfall, the stupidest thing I've ever heard come to PS Plus.
It's just a completely ridiculous decision. I mean, you know, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if next month we get Godfall on PS Vita and we just continue to port in Godfall to as many systems as humanly possible and still nobody will play it. But yeah, if you do have a PS Plus subscription, and I don't know why you do, I don't know why I do. It's terrible. They're all terrible. All these subscriptions apart from Game Pass are absolutely terrible. But you won't be getting full-fledged Godfall. That's a fact. You could have your crappy third version of this crap game.
I might wait until they bring another version to like the Nintendo DS that's only the tutorial and then it ends, because that'll be nice and short. You know, I can quickly do a bit of touchscreen Godfall controls and then it'll be just done, and I can chalk it off as a win. That'd be nice.
That'd be good, won't it? But other than that, it's all pretty quiet news-wise. There's not much going on.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, obviously, we do need to get you to the jungle for I'm a Celeb or the Welsh castle now, apparently, because they can't travel anywhere. So I guess we better rush right into Mini Console Madness.
Anson Decker calling. Okay, this week on Mini Console Madness, we've managed to draw ourselves a goodie. It's Super Mario Kart on the SNES. Now, this is the birth of the kart racing genre, of course, the birth of one of our favourite video game series in Mario Kart. It's an exciting little pick for us, this one, because it's a tricky game to discuss in Super Mario Kart, because for anybody who played it or played the GBA equivalent around the time that came out, will have fond memories of it. But trying to show Super Mario Kart to somebody now is like trying to show them a big black box CRT TV. They just don't understand how we dealt with these fins.
Yeah.
But it still holds up, at least in our opinion. But why don't you give us a little bit of the background to the making of this game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So obviously Super Mario Kart was made by some of the big players at Nintendo. Shigeru Miyamoto was heavily involved with this game, as he has been with every Mario Kart so far. And one of the quite interesting things about Super Mario Kart is that the initial goal that they based all of their development on was just making this a racing game that two people could play on the same screen. That was all they were after at first. They just wanted a multiplayer racing game that you could play on the same screen, which before this point didn't exist. So that's already quite crazy. So they went into it with that idea. And that's why when you actually play Super Mario Kart, even in single player, you still have a horizontal split screen and half the screen is just a map, because the goal was always to have two people on there. That's pretty cool. Another quite interesting thing about Super Mario Kart is this got quite far into development without being a Mario game. And, you know, this is an era before we started getting Mario spin-offs, right? At this point, Mario had really only been a platform series. They hadn't done Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, you know, Mario Party. You could go on to all sorts. They hadn't done that yet. And this was literally just going to be, yeah, a two-player split-screen racing game made by Nintendo, and that was going to be it. And then one developer apparently just on a whim, because you know they're driving past these new nondescript characters they'd made, and he just thought to himself, I wonder how it'd look if Mario was in that cart when you just drive past it and he looks across at you. And he put it in the game as a little prototype, and they just ran with it. They were like, yeah, okay, this should totally be a Mario game. We need to get all the Mario characters in. And I mean, it's fair to say, I think that was a bloody good move. You know, I think we'll get to it later, but Mario Kart has done fairly well for itself. And I'm not so sure it would have if it was just nondescript kart racing game. You know, I mean, the gameplay would have still been solid, but I think, you know, as a game which has birthed this idea of putting Mario in bloody anything, you know, it was a good idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't knock the idea. I mean, just look at the amount of copies that Mario Kart 8 sells every single week.
Yeah.
I think it's top of most sales charts even now, about 5 years after it actually came out. It's an incredible success story. Of course, Super Mario Kart was as well a graphical showcase for the SNES at the time. We'd already had F-Zero. It wasn't the first racing game on the system. F-Zero had already shown what Mode 7 could do, as had Pilot Wins in a slightly more sedate fashion. Yeah. But this was very much the logical extension of what F-Zero started once. It was yet another chance to show off these pseudo 3D graphics that the SNES managed to make by this fantastic technical genius in how they managed to do this. Because the car is stationary, isn't it? The car doesn't actually move. I mean, it moves side to side, but you're not actually moving the car around the track. The track is scrolling towards you. It's a ridiculous effect which still holds up pretty well, even though it can flicker and make you feel a little bit like you're drunk.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, I mean, when you think this is 1992, I mean, 3D was starting to appear in the arcades, but on a home console, this was insane.
Yeah, I mean, this is so early for anything to be 3D, you know. It's, you're going a long time yet before you get really solid 3D from this point. And I mean, this is early in the Super Nintendo's life cycle as well. You know, you can go forward a couple more years and you've got like Star Fox or Starwing, as it's known in Europe, which is kind of a fully 3D, like, polygonal game, but also runs at about one frame a second. Whereas, you know, this is just a really smooth, you know, as you said, pseudo 3D game that runs beautifully. And it's a hell of an achievement on, you know, what is absolutely hardware intended for 2D games.
Exactly. I mean, let's start talking about the game in a more reviewy kind of sense. Yeah. It's always tricky, as I mentioned at the top, to talk about this game, because you really do need to have, I believe, some form of nostalgia for it to get the absolute most out of it. I think if you're a newcomer to the Super Mario, if you're a newcomer to Mario Kart, you'd probably want to start with 64, go as far back as that and maybe stop, rather than play Super Mario Kart. But for anybody who doesn't, I didn't play Super Mario Kart myself until, must have been about 16, 18, and I still got into this game. I still thought it was a heck of a lot of fun, even though I did play the GBA version, which maybe had acclimatized me to it slightly. But what do you think? Do you think it can still hold up to the modern eye?
I think it's tricky because, yeah, you are right. Like, you, when you've played it at some point in the past, obviously, as you said, you didn't play it quite at launch. But I mean, I was playing this probably in about 1996 when I was 5 years old. So I got in early enough for it to be a completely kind of fresh game in memory to me. And I think that means I can pick this up and just see it as a great kart racer that I can, you know, just zoom around at like 150cc, the kind of top level, and not have too much trouble with it. But I think if you do come to this as a, you know, if you're maybe a big Mario Kart 8 Deluxe fan and you've loved your time on that, I think it is very tough to get into Super Mario Kart. I think, you know, these carts control a hell of a lot differently. You know, this isn't a game, you know, Mario Kart evolved eventually to a point where your entire approach, if you were playing it at like a decent level, is to skid around the whole damn track. That's just the whole game now, right? You drift everywhere, you build up boost, and you move through it that way. Whereas this is a more, I don't know, it's a bit, grounded is the wrong word because it's Mario Kart, but like this is kind of different. You gotta kind of take your foot off the gas a bit when you go around the corners so you don't like skid out of control. You know, you've got like, there is a drift in it, but it's not a drift that you can just continuously do at build up speed. It's more just a sharp turn, which is quite difficult to get used to. You know, it's very different, and it's challenging. I think it's a hell of a lot more challenging game than the latest kind of 4 or 5 Mario Karts have been, really. It's not easy to win this game on the highest levels. So I don't know. I think it's a fun relic for people to look back on. You know, obviously it's available, you know, in quite a few places now. You can get it through Nintendo Switch Online. You can get virtual console versions on like the Wii U. You know, so there's places to get it. The SNES Classic, obviously. I think if you've got those things and you're curious, then definitely worth a go for just seeing what it was like, and also experiencing like some of the, you know, this game still looks charming and beautiful, and the music's wonderful. You know, there's still some properties there that you're going to appreciate today, but I don't think you're going to pick up Super Mario Kart today as a new fan and get good enough at it that you blitz through 100cc, 150cc races and win them all. You know, it's just a bit too dated, maybe.
Yeah, it's certainly a tough game, and as you mentioned, I think it may seem a silly thing to say about a racing game, but this is probably the most racing of all the Mario Kart games. You actually have to think about where you're positioning your kart and how you're going to tackle a corner. As you say, you do have to slow down. You have to, you know, release the accelerator. You basically never do that in a Mario Kart game this point forward. You're constantly pressing forward. And as you say, the drift mechanic in this, you can drift on corners, but you don't get any speed boost for doing it. And moreover, you can skid off if you overdrift. Another mechanic which just doesn't exist after this. I actually think they're quite fun additions, and it actually makes these very short, tight little like tracks which you have, because no track really goes on for much beyond 30 seconds a lap. It actually makes those 30 seconds quite tense and exciting, because you're constantly having to make sure you're approaching the corner correctly, because if you don't, the AI will quite happily speed past you before you even know what has happened. And that's without even taking into account that there were weapons and items in this game as well that didn't come later, that was here. You know, the green shell, the red shell was here, the speed mushroom was here, a big massive jump where you can just basically cut off half the track because they're not that big, and if you time that right with a speed boost, you're just going flying into the lead, which is always a satisfying thing. There's a lot of fun power-ups in this game too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of the ones that you still see today are in here. You know, you've also got the Power Star, the Lightning Bolt. They're all here. You know, banana skins are in this game. It's, you know, all of that came into Mario Kart from day one, which is also really impressive. You know, it wasn't, again, this wasn't a common thing back in the day. Like, kart races basically didn't exist before this one. And the concept of, you know, picking up items and dropping them to sort of like play havoc with the other races, that wasn't a thing either. You know, neither was the idea that the further back in the race you are, the more powerful items you'd get to help catch up. You know, it's birthed a lot of these ideas that, you know, in this day and age, if they weren't in a like a kart racing or a casual racing game, you'd be like, well, where are they? You know, they need to be in here. That's what this is. So I think, yeah, it deserves a ton of respect for that. And just the amount of detail in Super Mario Kart as well, like the attention to detail is really impressive, again, for a game from its time. I mean, you know, every character in this game has different like stats. You don't see any of them, but they're there. Like you've got Donkey Kong Jr. and Bowser, who are these big heavy bastards, and they take an age to pick up speed, but once they are at full speed, they're the fastest characters in the game. And they're also really heavy, so if you bash into people with them, or if you get hit by them, you go flying, because they're just big and strong. You've got characters like Toad and Koopa, who are the lightest characters, so they you know, they can get bashed around a lot, but they pick up acceleration really quickly, although they can't reach the top speeds of other characters. You've got your typical all-rounders like Mario and Luigi. You know, all of this stuff is just built into this game right from the off. You know, this didn't come to Mario Kart in a second iteration. It was all there, and I just think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I think that's the most impressive thing about playing this game today, is that so much of what is in Mario Kart now was still there and present in the original title. That's an incredible thing. I mean, just the mere act of going via the 50cc, 100cc, 150cc modes, which essentially act as easy, normal, and hard on this. You know, you wouldn't dream of putting out a Mario Kart game which did not have that tournament structure these days. You know, it's still part of the charm of the franchise, and it was all here day one in this title. You've got a big, nice roster of characters, 8 people you can drive the karts as you say. They all have different stats and different pluses and minuses to consider to find your favorite character. You know, even the battle mode was here in Super Mario Kart. That's insane. I couldn't, when I remember booting this up for the first time, I was like, oh, well, they've actually got the battle mode. I didn't think that would be there as well. There's a lot of content here. You know, there's 20 tracks in this game as well. That's not, it's not small change. You know, that's pretty decent. And I know that they're based on 6 unique areas. So, you know, it's not wholesale different tracks, but they obviously, the layouts change each time and they're all, get increasingly harder as you work your way through them and you work your way through the different cups. You know, there's a lot here which just has become de facto expected in a Mario Kart for it all to be there in this debut edition, what is now 29 years old, is quite an incredible fit.
No, it really is. And, you know, as you said, yeah, they do reuse kind of biomes or locations, but put a new track on it. But I think, again, because this game looks so great for its age and also the music's so great, like, you kind of don't mind, you know, like, I'm happy when another Bowser Castle track comes up because the music's bloody great and it's all red and angry and there's fire everywhere and there's big font blocks trying to like land on you. And, you know, it's all there. There's all this cool kind of Mario like imagery. Like, again, it makes you wonder what the hell this game was going to be before Mario was involved, because it's just like everything about it is just the heart and soul of why Super Mario is such a kind of beloved series. Like, I almost wish I could look into that kind of dark timeline where this was just Nintendo Racer and there just wasn't any characters in it, because it's as I said, it's the whole thing of it, you know. I mean, this also was the birth of Rainbow Road, and the whole thing of Rainbow Road being, you know, that one maddeningly difficult track in every Mario Kart game, you know, that started here as well. And I mean, basically all of the great music you hear, like, for the most part in new Mario Kart games is just from this game. It was all already here. They've just been like remixing it for 20 odd years. It's just a great achievement.
Yeah, there's just a lot to like about the title. I mean, you know, there are niggly frustrations. Yes, the game does look gorgeous. I think the art style on it is fantastic. The parallax scrolling is a little bit chuggy at times, you know, but that's just a nature of what it is. I was playing this on a Switch handheld, and that was a weird experience, having it so close to your face. But, you know, even still looks fantastic. As you say, the music is wonderful. The course designs are all really exciting. I love all the Boo tracks on this game. They're always my favorite, and they're my favorite ones here. You know, I like the fact that there's a load of obstacles on the track as well. You know, you've still got all the oil spills, all, as you say, you know, the thwomps jumping down, the Monty Moles jumping around. You know, it's all there, and you can still do shortcuts as you can in all the best Mario Kart games. You can skip large sections of the track, and they clearly intend you to, because there are actual gaps put there for when you've got a speed mushroom to go and do that. So it's all being thought through. There's a lot of very clever and layered game design here, which you would obviously expect from the minds who are working on it. But to get it right out the gate so easily on a genre which didn't massively exist. Yes, they had F-Zero to build upon, but that game was so focused on speed and far less on, you know, actual combat between races. It was all about getting around the track quickly. This is a bit of a 180 on that. This is very much a kart racer. And I think it's just an incredible achievement, even if, yes, it's a little bit too difficult. Yes, the drift can be a little bit frustrating. And, you know, it's perhaps a tiny bit on the samey side. And I suppose a minor criticism for me is the fact that all these tracks have 5 laps. And I've got so used to Mario Kart games having 3 laps.
Yeah.
I spend the entire time playing this just stopping the minute I get after the 3rd lap. I just stopped it. I put the console down, but I realize it's still going. And I have to do a desperate recovery in the final 2 laps to make up for my stupidity. I can't get out of that habit. But, you know, I like this game a lot. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, same. I mean, I guess we'll move on to kind of scoring it soon and putting it in our Mini Console Madness leaderboards. But I just wanted to call attention to a few more of those little cool attention to detail things in this that I love. So, I mean, one is that the main menu for this game is just this wonderful little display of like all the carts just driving like left to right side scrolling across the screen. And they've got like the actual instructions for how to like move past that screen are just like scrawled on the background. They just say, as they're driving past, you just see like press B every now and then. And that's how you kind of start the game. That's really nice. I love how every character in the game, when they're being played by the computer, they have like special items that they have that they only have when they're the computer. So like if the computer's playing as Princess Peach, she can drop a mushroom behind her and that makes you tiny as if you've been hit by lightning. Or if it's Bowser, he'll throw a fireball. Donkey Kong has bananas. Koopa throws a Koopa shell. You know, they've even thought that through. They all have these specific items that are appropriate for that character. That's really cool. When you finish a race with your character, every character has their own individual theme tune at the end of the race. So I didn't even realize this for a while because I just mainlined Yoshi the whole time. But yeah, everyone gets their own individual little musical jingle for winning a race, which is really cool. You've also got that great thing that Mario Kart has always done, which is that in the final lap, they just hype the music up. They just speed everything up. It's more intense. That's a great idea that stuck for the series, for the entire time. And the final thing is, which is kind of unrelated to this, but it's still really cool, is, we already touched on how this was the first attempt to be like, right, we want to make a two-player racing game. That's our goal here. I think it's really impressive that you can do the entire Grand Prix in two-player in this game. It would have been so easy for it to just be you can do a single race with two players because, I mean, Christ, I've played racing games up to and including this, like, the last decade or so, where when you try and play with two players, they restrict you to, like, kind of shitty versus modes where you just do one race. It's actually still not completely common outside of Mario Kart that you can do full-on championships with a friend. And that was, again, in Mario Kart from day one. So, yeah, just a ton of respect for what this was at the time. And I guess now, now we need to go towards scoring it. And obviously we do need to keep in mind that, we're scoring this in 2021. So, yeah, where are you sitting with Mario Kart from your end?
Yeah, as you say, from a 2021 perspective, there are niggles and tiny little details about the game which just make it a touch harder to come back to than, many of the others that were to come in the franchise. And I think any of these Mode 7 games are harder to return to than most of the SNES library.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of what they were trying to do. It's not a negative. They are still very playable and very exciting video games. But just by virtue of what they were doing in the 3D space, as it kind of is, it is a little bit awkward for the modern eye. Even with all that considered, I would still say Super Mario Kart is a very high 8, if not a low 9. I think it's a wonderful experience and everybody should play it just to see where those old classic tracks that you always unlock in Mario Kart 8, where they actually came from, these weird little blocky ones. They're all there, get them on donut blades on the old SNES version. It's a joy still to this day. And I think that's probably the most impressive thing I can say about it. It's not my least favorite Mario Kart game, which isn't bad going.
Yeah, I mean, I stand in a pretty similar place to you on this one. I think today with, factoring in, if people might be coming to this fresh and stuff, I would give it a good 8 out of 10. I think that's a fair score. I would say that at the time, Super Mario Kart is a nailed on 10 out of 10 video game. This brought multiplayer racing, like split screen racing to everyone in an instantly near perfect fashion for its age, So it would be a 10 out of 10 on the day, but yeah, now it's about an 8, but I agree with you on that. I think, if you love any of the Mario Karts in the last sort of 10, 20 years, do just pop this one on and just, I think it'd be quite nice to almost get the reverse of what, like older players get that cool thing where, I get to play Mario Kart 8 and hear some of the original Mario Kart theme tune in the intro, or like I'll go on to like the battle mode and you'll play the exact course from the SNES, but it's like now beautiful. I think it's quite fun that some people get to do the reverse of that, experience these fantastic, like beautiful modern games and then see them in all their janky, like 3D-ish Mode 7, like retro style. I think that's really cool. So yeah, I'm going to give this one an 8 too, but it's a fantastic game. So, of course, before we move on from Super Mario Kart, I always have a couple of questions for you on Mini Console Madness. The first one is, if you already own the Mini Console, the Super Nintendo Classic, or, if you have a Switch Online sub, is Super Mario Kart a game you should play?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so. And the other question is, if you don't yet have one of those methods of playing it, should you seek those out to get some Super Mario Kart going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think this is near enough the top of the kind of list for those sorts of games. You know, you're going to have a great time messing about in Mario Kart. The only knock I would have if you were going to buy the whole mini console for it is you can kind of see everything Super Mario Kart has to offer within a couple of hours. So it's maybe not the value for money if you're going to buy a Super Nintendo Classic, especially now that they're so hard to find. But nonetheless, well worth seeking out a place to play Super Mario Kart. So our final thing then that we need to do for Super Mario Kart is we need to place it on our Mini Console Madness leaderboard. So there's currently 5 titles on the leaderboard. A quick recap here. We have Final Fantasy 3/6 in our top spot. A huge drop-off in quality as you get to number 2, which is Air Zonk. Thank you to the random game generator for giving us such a great set of games. Number 3 is Strider, which, you know, the quality level's really dropping off now. Number 4 is Toe Jam and Earl, which was absolutely miserable. And somehow even worse is Kid Chameleon in last place, a game which we couldn't be asked of so much that looking at our leaderboard, I now say I only wrote the word kid. Didn't even write Chameleon. So, didn't even bother. So, yeah, Josh, where do you play Super Mario Kart on our current leaderboard?
Well, it's second, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's second. There's no big debate to be had here. It's better than Urzong, I'd say. It's not quite a Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Look, I mean, Super Mario Kart on its day, like if we were doing these rankings when the Super Nintendo was the current gen machine, you'd have a real fight between it and Final Fantasy III/6, I think, because they're both at the top of their genres. But, you know, now if you're going back to play one, you know, one is a kart racer that's fantastic but showing its age, and another one is a JRPG that is still the top of its game. So you've got to give number 1 to Final Fantasy, but still a good show for Super Mario Kart, and, you know, just nice to have another game on the list that's actually good.
Absolutely. I mean, shall we talk a little bit about what came next for Super Mario Kart? I mean, we've already somewhat touched upon it, and we already know that the future was incredibly bright. So why don't you just give us a little bit of a feel for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, Mario Kart has very much continued on from this point. There has been a lot of Mario Kart games. Just a quick count here. Obviously, you've got 8 mainline ones. That's why we've got Mario Kart 8. But there are a few spin-offs as well. But the main thing to say about Mario Kart is that it has went on to be one of the most successful video game series in the world. I was looking up the kind of sales numbers for this series as a whole, and at this point, it's estimated to be around about 160 million sales for Mario Kart. And that's again, just Mario Kart. That's not any other Mario games. And some of the entire series is that Mario Kart alone beats out. So Mario Kart has around about 15 million more sales than all of Sonic. It has about 30 million more sales than Madden NFL, 37 million more than The Legend of Zelda, and 40 million more than all of Resident Evil. And it is just behind, it's a matter of millions behind Final Fantasy, which has had about 3 times as many games. So Mario Kart is just kicking ass, basically. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch in particular, which is obviously a re-release of a Wii U game. I mean, me and you were the only owners of a Wii U, but, you know, we bought it again on the Switch. And the main thing to note about Mario Kart 8 on the Switch is the attach rate, which is the percentage of console owners who buy the game. And even your biggest and most successful game series is, like, you know, you're lucky to get 1 in 10 console owners buying your game, because, you know, everyone has different tastes. Everyone bought the console for different reasons. You know, some people buy a console and just buy FIFA. You know, that's just the way it is. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch currently has a 42% attach rate. So nearly half of every Switch console bought has bought a copy of Mario Kart 8. And when you factor in that some people buy multiple Switches, like, I mean, I know me and you have, you've got your OLED, I've got my Switch Lite, you know, we're dragging the number down because we're not going to buy a second copy of Mario Kart. So, you know, it's fair to say that, like, probably over half of people out there who own a Switch do own Mario Kart. And that's absolutely ridiculous.
That's just an insane statistic, isn't it? I mean, it's no wonder the game is consistently at the top of sales charts, even to this day, even, what, 7 years on from its Wii U launch and 4 years on from its Switch launch. Yeah. It's an incredible success story, and it is every bit as good as that. Mario Kart is fantastic. In fact, many times I'd wish people had stopped bloody buying it.
I was so going to say that. yeah, please stop now. Like, it came out in 2017 on the Switch. It came out in 2014 on the Wii U. It's 7 years old. Please stop so we can move on. Like, it's just, I need a new one.
We'll never get anyone in this way. There's just no need.
Yeah, that's it. They've perfected it, sadly. But anyway, I guess we should, you know, while we're talking about Mario Kart and the future of the series, I guess we should do a speed ranking of the Mario Kart games with emphasis on the speed, because I know you've got a Bush Tucker trial to get to soon. So yeah, I mean, we won't include the arcade games in this. There are a couple of Mario Kart arcade games which are perfectly good, but obviously by the nature of an arcade game, you only really get to have a quick go on them every now and then, so it didn't feel quite right to add them in. But a quick shout out to the fact that those games do let you play as Pac-Man, which I do love. Gotta love Pac-Man in Mario Kart.
It's a great addition. Shall we kick off with the top one, the first release, Super Mario Kart 1992? Where would you place it?
Well, gotta be number one at the moment. There's no other games.
Number one, you go. Number two, 1996's Mario Kart 64.
All right, Mario Kart 64. Mario Kart 64 is a bit of a tricky one because I think this game would have really benefited from coming out in about 1998. It's a very early N64 title, and you know that kind of comes with some kind of artifacts that I wish weren't there. Like, Mario Kart 64 is quite similar in graphical style to Super Mario Kart, weirdly enough. It's, you know, the courses are now 3D, but your kart races are still kind of awkwardly 2D sprite based, and the control is a little bit rough, a little bit awkward. A lot of people absolutely adore Mario Kart 64, but for me, you know, I don't know. I think if it would have came out a couple of years later, everyone would have been like genuine full 3D models. I would have been more on board with 64. So for me, 64 goes under Super Mario Kart.
I mean, actually, I was expecting to have to fight you for this one, because Mario Kart 64 is not one of my favorites, and I also would have it underneath Super Mario Kart. As I say, it was a little bit too early. It just kind of missed the 3D gaming boon, which probably would have benefited it a lot more. It's not a fantastic one. It's more than playable. It's enjoyable, but
yeah,
you can kind of tell that a lot of these 64 tracks don't appear on the old retro course collections that often. Because I don't think there was a fantastic batch of them, to be fair. So I would also say second place for that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. One thing I would say is Mario Kart 64's Rainbow Road is friggin' wonderful. Thankfully, it's been faithfully brought to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's that one with the kind of bouncy track and there's a big train going around it. It's friggin' fantastic and the music's great. So I'm thankful it brought that to us, and it did bring four-player Mario Kart racing to us. But it has to sit at the bottom for now for me.
Okay, next game. 2001's GBA Mario Kart Super Circuit.
I quite like Mario Kart Super Circuit. This was a GBA launch title. So again, it's hitting right at the start of a console. You know, maybe it might have benefited from coming in a bit later, but you know, Super Circuit is basically just a somewhat faithful handheld version of Super Mario Kart. You know, you maybe don't get the same quality of tracks overall, but you know, it handles pretty similar to the original SNES game. And, you know, again, you know, I've talked about the firsts that you've got with the other games. This one gives you Mario Kart on the go, which you didn't have ever before. You know, that's really cool. That's awesome. So I'm not like, a lot of people are quite low on Super Circuit. I'm not as low as they are. I would probably be placing it second right now. I do think it has more to offer than 64.
Yeah, I agree. I'm slightly biased because it was my first Mario Kart game, so I played it to live in love and death. But I really like this game. I think it's fantastic. I think I'm just about not blinded enough by nostalgia to say it's better than Super Mario Kart, so I think second is a fair spot for it. But yeah, it's a really good portable Mario Kart game. I mean, this is portable Mario Kart in 2000. What all did you need in life?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the dream release, and it still plays pretty damn well to this day. You can still pick this up and have a good time. Very similar to Super Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Okay, fourth up, Mario Kart Double Dash 2003 on the GameCube.
Yeah, Double Dash. So this is an interesting one, because this is another one of those Mario Karts that at the time, and maybe for about a decade after it, people kind of shat on Double Dash. They were like, oh, it's easily the worst Mario Kart. It's you know, no good. This mechanic of having two people in a kart that you can switch between, like, oh, it's useless. And then I feel like the tide's kind of turned on Double Dash over the last sort of five or so years. I don't think people are that down on it anymore. And I quite like it. I think Double Dash is a good 3D Mario Kart game. It's probably the first, you know, as I said, 64 has aged a bit bad, whereas Double Dash is the first proper 3D Mario Kart with proper 3D courses. There's some really good courses in here, like the maddening baby park where you just go around 10 tiny laps, which fucks everyone off in that game and in Mario Kart 8. You got like, there was like Daisy's like cruise ship, which is like this cruise ship where the tables would be moving around as the boat swayed. That was a great track. Like, I think it's a really good game. For me, looking at the list we've got so far, I would say top two so far. I don't know if it goes above Super Mario Kart. It probably doesn't, but it's a really good game.
Yeah, I like Double Dash a lot. I think, as you say, it's slightly unfairly maligned. I don't quite know why. I think the Switch mechanic works pretty well. I think it's quite fun. It adds a new little element to races. Certainly added new elements of multiplayer,
yeah,
depending on how you wanted to play the game in that sense. Some really fun track designs. I think this is the first Mario Kart which feels like modern Mario Kart.
Yeah.
It definitely has all the trappings you'd expect. Now, we've all kind of been iterating from this game at this point. You know, we've really left behind 64 and Super Mario Kart. This is the modern template for what Mario Kart is. And although I think it came to be bettered, and I probably as well just slightly prefer Super Mario Kart, maybe on a nostalgic kind of golden age of gaming viewpoint, but I'd say it is second place. I think it's better than Super Circuit, and I do prefer it to 64. Okay, so Intersport, the fifth title, and it's the first introduction of online play with Mario Kart DS in 2005.
Yeah, Mario Kart DS was a fantastic Mario Kart video game. I think, as you said, yeah, the birth of online in Mario Kart, the fact that the first online Mario Kart was on a handheld is kind of crazy. And like, this game was big online. This was a huge game. I remember this was constantly full of players. I mean, sure, they'd be snaking around the tracks and just kicking the shit out of you. You know, you'd lose to like some random Japanese guy in every race because he'd just be a million times more efficient than you are at getting around. But it's still bloody brilliant. I played the hell out of this game. Played it online. I played it in local 8 player as well, because this also had a fantastic thing where if one person owned the car, then anyone else could just link to their DS and play Mario Kart basically with them. And the only thing they were limited in is I think they all had to be Shy Guys. So like, I remember times that I'd take my DS to like to college and it'd be maybe like me and like one other person as real characters, and then just like 6 different colored Shy Guys just pegging around some Mario Kart tracks. Like, it was absolutely wonderful. Like, for me, Mario Kart DS soars to the top of this list from the games we talked about so far. I think it was an absolute revelation for the series.
Yeah, Mario Kart DS is a fantastic Mario Kart game. My second one, again, I was very much handheld until it came to the Wii. That's when I jumped on the console Mario Kart games, and I adored my time playing Mario Kart DS. I too tried to hand with the ludicrously talented Snakers online and absolutely could not. I dare say we may be in the hardcore Mario Kart minority, where I'm quite glad that Snaken has gone now. I am not able to do it.
Oh yeah, very much
so. Not because I couldn't. I could do it a bit, but I just couldn't do it with consistency. And, you know, it just kind of robbed the fun a little bit more than anything else.
It kind of reduced Mario Kart. So for anyone who doesn't know what Snaken is, it was basically where you constantly were drift skidding around the course, but it made you infinitely faster than if you didn't do it for the entire track. And yeah, it kind of, you know, it was an interesting little weird technique. I dare say in a modern era, it would have been patched out. But, you know, this was an older time. And I just think it did slowly rob the fun out of playing the game online when everyone was Snaken, because it almost became a weird puzzle game. You know, you almost needed to just know the kind of snaky racing line on every track and stick to it. You didn't get to like do the interesting parts of the track. You know, when some tracks taking shortcuts would literally not be as efficient as just snaking around the bends. It just got a bit daft, but nonetheless, it still can't deny how fantastic Mario Kart DS was. And also it was rammed full of tracks as well. I think DS was the first one that started bringing in extra GPs of classic tracks as well. So that's again, a fantastic addition to the series.
Yeah, indeed it was. Number 6, 2008's Mario Kart Wii, the birth of motion controls.
And bikes. This one brought bikes to Mario Kart, which I still think suck to this day. So not big on the bikes, but look, it's an interesting new thing to do. Mario Kart Wii is, you know, it's probably the most popular. I think it is the most popular Mario Kart ever in terms of sales, in terms of online play. You know, the Wii wasn't a big online machine like your Xbox 360 at the time and your PS3, but Mario Kart Wii was one of the biggest online games of its generation because it's Mario Kart. It's bloody brilliant. You know, it's always the way it works with Mario Kart. So yeah, I have a lot of love for Mario Kart Wii in some ways, but I would say that I don't think it's up to the level of Mario Kart DS. I just think I don't know. Like I said, the bikes were frustrating. The track selection was good, but not great. And I also think that the motion controls were just a bit brutal, you know, because everyone was using them at first. You kind of had to try and make it work because it was the Wii, right? Everyone had to try and do motion controls. It's just the way it is. And yeah, I quickly abandoned those whenever I was playing online. But yeah, I don't know. It's a good entry. At the time, it was, you know, again, like an absolute revelation for online gaming. But it's not one I'd be looking to play again. I don't think I'd be looking to go back to Mario Kart Wii anytime soon.
No, I think the best of Mario Kart Wii has been pillaged in later editions as well, which maybe doesn't help it, because there are some very good tracks on this game, but most of them have been scooped up at this point. Yeah, the motion controls were fun, and they were a nice little gimmick at the start of play, but it's never been the best way to play Mario Kart. Tracks had to be a little bit wider to accommodate those controls as well, which it doesn't massively bother me, but it did kind of rob a little bit of the fun in it as well. So I don't know about placing this one. This is tricky. I'd probably say it's in and around Double Dash and Super Circuit. Yeah. I maybe actually prefer Double Dash to this. I'd probably put it fourth.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I think fourth's reasonable.
So fourth for that one as we move into the final, technically at least, handheld game, Mario Kart 7. 2011. This is where planes and water finally got added to the game.
Yeah, and all these kind of gravity effects and stuff, which you see a lot of in Mario Kart 8. I think Mario Kart 7 is a great game. I think, you know, it looked wonderful on the 3DS. You know, this is one of those games that actually did wait a while before it came out on the console, which, you know, we kind of said earlier on in some of the earlier speed reviews of Mario Kart that they maybe came out too soon and couldn't take advantage of all of the power of the console. Like, Mario Kart 7 came out a little later and did actually manage to look fantastic on the 3DS. So that's really good. I think some of the tracks in Mario Kart 7 were really cool. It did bring back some classic tracks, but then with these added kind of little gravity effects and stuff, which you see quite a bit of that in Mario Kart 8 as well, but that did start in 7. So I have a lot of positives here. One thing I would say is I never really enjoyed playing Mario Kart 7 online. You know, I loved Mario Kart DS online and I loved Mario Kart Wii at the time online, but I never really got into the Mario Kart 7 online scene. I don't know what it was about it. I wasn't interested in checking out. I tried a few races and I just kind of was a bit sick of it, really. So I think as a single player offering, it was really good. There was a lot of courses, a lot of GPs, but it was missing something to make me stick with it for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's a weird one, is Mario Kart 7. It somewhat feels like a bit of the lost kind of Mario Kart game, even though it sold a boatload of copies and I certainly played a lot of it. I like the addition of the flight and, you know, wave mechanics, sea mechanics in this game, but I felt they were a little bit overused in Mario Kart 7. They kind of got the balance better in the later installment, shall we say, without going too far into spoilers. And at times, you kind of got a little bit sick of the gimmicky kind of parts where you weren't really doing anything. You were just waiting until you were back on the track because there wasn't too much you could do in the air or underwater. I still think it's a good game. As you say, it's got a load of single-player stuff, decent enough online suites, but I'd say it's a worse game than Mario Kart Wii. Is it? It's probably better than Super Circuit, though.
Yeah, I could go with that. I think, yeah, 7. I think the problem with 7 is you look across the full history of Mario Kart and, like, you know, like from today, and I think 7 is the only one that looks like a prototype for a future game. You know, like they were always pushing and trying different things with Mario Kart right through to 7 and 8. And then I feel like 8 has just took 7 and done it the right way. You know, so 7's been left in the lurch a bit now as this kind of weird, you know, it's almost like a prologue to 8, which, you know, isn't a great place to sit, you know, when you're looking back at older games. So, yeah, I think just ahead of Super Circuit in fifth place is the right place for it now.
Next up, Mario Kart 8/8 Deluxe, 2014 Wii U, 2017 Switch.
Mario Kart 8 and 8 Deluxe is an absolutely ridiculous video game. It's there's so much content here. Like, you've got, like, what, I think it's 64 tracks or something now on the Switch Deluxe version, or if you bought the DLC on the Wii U. You've got an insane cast of characters, just anyone you'd ever want to play as from Mario, and then added stuff like Link and things like that. Really cool. I mean, they went too far when you've got, like, Pink, Gold, Peach, and Gold Mario. Like, maybe rein it in a little bit, but still a lot of very good characters here. You know, you've got obviously all the ability to change your kart to a bunch of different stuff, which was introduced in Mario Kart Wii, but I think they've nailed that now. There's so many cool designs you can add to your kart, and they all change how it runs, how it functions. Love that. And the online is absolutely amazing. I've hammered online on Mario Kart 8 and 8 Deluxe. I play this online a lot. Me and my partner just play, because you can play split screen online. So you can just hammer out race after race online. You have like a score total that ticks up and down as you go, as you get better and better at it. You've even got a separate ranking for battle mode. So sometimes we just play a bunch of battle mode because that's really fun. There's like loads of different games in there. Like there's the typical hit people with items mode, but then there's like a shine race where you have to hold the shine for like 20 seconds to win. There's all kinds of cool stuff in there, so that's really good as well. Mario Kart 8 is just kart racing perfection, frankly. There's no world in which it doesn't go top in this list. I think it's annoyingly so good that they won't make 9. So it's got to go top for me.
Yeah, Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart game. Like, you know, it was the best Mario Kart game on Wii U. It's even better still on Switch. So, you know, it's an incredible achievement. I think this was the introduction of 12-player races as well. You know, more people on the screen than ever before. Mm. Really fun. The online scene is fantastic. The customization options on the carts are really fun. Just so much content. So much to do here. The games never looked better, never sounded better. It's an orchestral score for most of the tracks as well. It's just fantastic. Like, it's just the must-play game. And as you say, we'll never get a 9th Mario Kart game, at least for the very foreseeable future, because how do you even follow this up? It's like trying to follow up Smash Bros.
Yeah,
Ultimate.
I was going
to
say, they everyone has heard it, didn't they? It's like every track is here, and now they're trapped. They can't go anywhere. It's just, it's so good, man. I mean, and I didn't even touch on the music. The music in Mario Kart 8 is absolutely incredible. Some of the remixes on these tracks just go so needlessly hard. There's like a big blue F-Zero track that just goes into the most insane jazz riff, and it's so good. I absolutely love it. There's no world in which Mario Kart 8 couldn't be top of this list. I don't even know if Mario Kart 9, you know, when we get it in about 25 years, will be better than this game, because I don't see how it can be. It's going to be a really tough act to follow.
Now, we've got one more title, which is Mario Kart Home Circuit 2020 on the Switch. I've not played this. I don't think you have either.
Unless you're going to surprise me. I've not. I nearly bought Mario Kart Home Circuit last year, but I live in a tiny house right now, so it would have been completely pointless. It was on a couple of sales this year, and I was tempted again, but I've not went for it yet. I mean, look, I think Mario Kart Home Circuit is really cool. I think, you know, this, for anyone who doesn't know, this is basically you buy a remote control Mario or Luigi kart, you put it in your house, and then you play the game on the Switch. And, you know, you can see your exact kart in your house on the Switch, but there'll be like obstacles on the track. You can make tracks out of your own house. It's really, really cool. And, you know, by all accounts, it works very well. Like, it really does actually manage to build a track out of your home if you've got enough room. And it controls really well because it's a Mario Kart game. So it's very good. They patched it recently to actually let you play split screen on one Switch, which it wasn't capable of doing at launch. So, you know, I can see a world where, you know, if you've got like a couple of kids of the right age, you get them both a Mario Kart Home Circuit car each, and they're just playing multiplayer kart racing in your house. That's really cool. I think that's so cool. It shouldn't be bottom, but, you know, the reality is we haven't played it. And also it isn't a full fat Mario Kart. It's a race around your house Mario Kart. So it certainly can't climb too high.
In many ways, it shouldn't be here, because I do feel quite mean putting it bottom.
Yeah.
Because I think it's such a cool idea, and I absolutely want one, and I will end up buying one, if only just to have that little Mario Kart toy. Mm. That's enough for me. I don't even need to play the damn game. I just want to look at the toy, maybe make it go vroom vroom around my house with my hand. I mean, I don't need to play the game. 9th place, though, as we count up the list. So in 9th place, it is Mario Kart Home Circuit. 8th place, Mario Kart 64. Don't send your hate mail. We're probably correct. 7th place, Mario Kart Super Circuit on the GBA. In 6th, Mario Kart 7, 3DS. 5th place goes to Mario Kart Wii on the Wii. Mario Kart Double Dash takes 4th spot for the GameCube. Super Mario Kart, as we've just been talking about, takes 3rd place on the SNES. 2nd for Mario Kart DS on the Nintendo DS. And of course, top, what else could it be than Mario Kart 8/8 Deluxe on the Wii U and the Switch? It will never stop selling. They'll still be selling copies of that 15 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, all of those games basically still worth playing today. That's the thing, you know. We might have sounded like we were really negative on Mario Kart 64, but it's the kind of game that was still like a, you know, it's probably like a 9 out of 10 the day it came out, and now it's more like a high 7, you know, and that's bottom of the list of Mario, like, yes. Well, the bottom of the list of real Mario Kart. So as you said, Home Circuit is a weird little, you know, interesting like tech demo type thing, really. But yeah, so all of these are brilliant. You really can't lose with playing any Mario Kart games. But I think you were right earlier when you said, you know, for people who love what modern Mario Kart is, if you love Mario Kart 8 and you just want to try as much, you know, just want to take in more Mario Kart, it's anything Double Dash onwards is the Mario Kart you know and love. So like, I would say, yeah, you know, if you can find a GameCube at this point, Double Dash is probably the place to maybe go back and have a look at, because that's really modern Mario.
It's a future discussion for another time. Is it the most consistent franchise ever? It probably is. It's an incredible game series. But shall we have one last brief discussion before we bring Games Club to an end and I go off to Wales? We are both lovers of the kart racing genre. Do you have any other kart racers, non-Mario, which you actually believe can hold a torch to it, or maybe even, dare I say it, surpass it?
I mean, look, like, obviously all the companies have tried to make Mario Kart since Super Mario Kart came out. The market was littered full of kart racer clones in the mid-90s. You know, we played a couple for this podcast, Sonic Drift on the Game Gear. It was absolutely shit, but we played it. But that's not one that would be in this conversation. Look, I think some kart racers have came pretty close to the Mario Kart crown. You know, they haven't been able to do it consistently. That's one of the big differences. Mm. You know, you ain't getting another series that has 9 fantastic kart racers. But I would say... The game that came closest to dethroning Mario Kart for me is a game which was the best kart racer on its console, and that is Diddy Kong Racing on the N64. That was a much better game than Mario Kart 64. You could do kart racing, but also airplane and hoverboard racing. And it was just wonderful. It has an open world, kind of overworld, that you drive around and find secrets and enter races when you've got like more balloons. It's almost like when you get more stars in Super Mario 64, you kind of earn more balloons and you can open new doors and stuff. It's got a lot going on. And Diddy Kong Racing is a series that I desperately wish would have just got a better shake, because it kind of just disappeared, really. You got a DS re-release at one point, but that's your lot from that one. So that's top of the list for me. Other than that, there's one which I feel like you might want to talk about, which is the Sonic Kart Racers. They've had a pretty good showing too.
Yeah, the Sonic Kart Racers are fantastic. Sonic and Sega Racing All-Stars Transformed is probably the best of them. Yeah. I think that's got the most to offer. It's a really fun game, which I'd say is better than Mario Kart 7, which is, kind of doing the same thing. They're doing the whole transforming kart thing, and it's a better game than Mario Kart 7. It doesn't do it anywhere near as well as 8 ended up doing in the future. I mean, an obvious pick would be Crash Team Racing on the PlayStation 1, which took a lot of what Diddy Kong Racing did, particularly with, you know, unlocking different worlds having different progression checkpoints to, you know, see more of the story. I think it did it better. I think Crash Team Racing is a wonderful game. It has probably the most satisfying drift mechanic of any kart racing game I've played. It's got a wonderful drift system where you can really pick up some speed in that title. The first game in particular is wonderful, though. Nitro Kart is perfectly playable as well. I don't think it's better than Mario Kart. I never have done, but it is a wonderful experience and definitely one I think any kart racing fan should play at this point. I dare say you may have something to say on my other one, so I may leave it to you. How do you feel about Toy Story Racer?
You know, Toy Story Racer is a tricky one. I've not played a ton of it. I picked it up on, you know, back when you could get really cheap PS1 games on your kind of PSP. I think I found it for like £1.69 and thought, you know, I love Toy Story, I love kart races. I gave it a go. I didn't put enough time in it to conclusively say if it's any good, but I didn't think it was awful. I thought it seemed at least decent. So, I take it you're a fan.
I really like Toy Story Racer. I think it's one of the best licensed kart racing games where, you know, because there were so many, wasn't there, on the 90s, early noughties, where any license had to have a kart racing game. I think Toy Story Racer was very much small thing in big world, which you must love.
I do love small thing in big world.
And there's not many kart racer games that do that, other than, of course, Micro Machines, which always felt a little bit different to handle anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really fun experience and definitely one to check out as well. Do you have any additional ones to throw at us?
I think that's about it for the ones that can get anywhere near Mario Kart quality. You know, I think there's another couple of games that were quite decent. I guess to be fair, Konami Crazy Racers on the GBA is probably a better game than Super Circuit. It came out a few years later, so it again had time to learn about that console and harness it better. But that's a really good game. Obviously, it's another kind of one-off though. Like, I don't think there's any series that have really managed to pick up any steam. Even the Sonic series, because Team Sonic Racing isn't great, so that's kind of fell off too. I did have a weird soft spot back in the early 2000s for Lego Racers. Lego Racers I found to be a weirdly fun game. It's nowhere near Mario Kart level, but you know, it's one of those ones where if you're at a loose end and you just desperately must kart race, it's one you certainly can play. It's probably worse than all of the Mario Karts that we spoke about, but you know, still it's not too bad. So there's that. And then my last one, and I'd literally need to search this right now to make sure I'm getting the name right. There was a Super Nintendo game, which I think was called Speed Racer. Speed Racer was a good racing game. It came out in 1994. And it was, you know, it was kind of a kart racing game. It was a bit more old school, and it was a bit more like the older kind of, you know, you really felt the effect of the track being the thing that was moving rather than your car. But it was a good game. So yeah, that's not bad either. But I think, yeah, as we said, Mario Kart is the absolute, you know, it's on its own at the top of the racing pyramid here, really.
Absolutely. Quick shout out as well to Moto Toon Grand Prix, which came out on the PS1. It's also a really good game. But again, it was a one-off, essentially. Yeah. Nothing really came from it.
Actually, quick correction on mine. It was not Speed Racer. It was Street Racer, which was it was a Capcom game. It actually had some Capcom characters in. I've got a screenshot up on my screen now of E. Honda doing his 100 hand chops to someone in the car across from him. So yeah, Street Racer was quite fun. But yeah, that's probably it really for the kart races. Right then, well, that is the end of this week's Mini Console Madness. So next week on Pixel Mix, we are back around to our ranking specials. And we're going a bit festive this time. We're going to be ranking our favorite snow or Christmas or winter kind of themed levels in gaming. So that should be a fun look through some, you know, some stuff you could maybe pick up over Christmas and take a look at.
I mean, you won't, but you could.
No, God, no. You know, I'll be... you know, spending £2.50 to keep my best Limavady United footballers. So I won't be playing them, but nonetheless, maybe you can. Until then though, if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at PixelMixPod. If you want to drop us an email about any of the games we cover on the show, you can find us at PixelMixPod@gmail.com. So until next time, I am Andy Wood.
And I'm Josh Stevenson.
And we will catch you next week.
Cooper Trooper rules. Don't.